Amen. Open your Bibles to Psalm 51, please. Psalm 51 in your Bible tonight. Psalm 51 is a great revival psalm. A revival is simply how someone gets right with God. This revival psalm tells us how David got right with God. Thank you for coming tonight. Now, Thursday night is usually a low night. You've done well. Now, tomorrow night's the last night. You say, well, I'm not coming. Well, I'll tell you. If you're not coming, the demons will dance all over you.
Yeah,
if you're not working, you're just sitting home. You know, really, when demons dance with delight, one of the things a Christian does that makes hell happy is just not obey the word of God, not do what he asks you to do. Hell gets excited. Why? Because how you live influences somebody else.
Right.
Nobody, the Bible says, nobody lives to himself. Right. Nobody dies to himself. Man, that's powerful. I don't care who you are, what you are, what your income is or isn't. You influence somebody else. Tomorrow night, you come and try to bring someone with you to the house of God. Many of you have been faithful every night. Every night you could. God bless you for that. I mean that. That's a great thing. It really is. Faithfulness in some churches is a thing of the past. But thank God for you people that are faithful. And one more night, just pray, invite, remind somebody. Now, they're going to say, well, I forgot. Here's what I want you to do, so they won't forget. You get home after the service tonight, about 11:30, quarter or 12. Pick up the phone and give them a call. You don't have to talk long. Just say, I called to remind you about the revival tomorrow night. And then just kind of slam the phone down, okay? Now, they may not come to revival, I'll tell you that. But they won't forget you called them. I'll tell you that also. And you've destroyed one of their excuses. So let's make tomorrow night a great night. Look in your Bible. Psalm 51, verse 1. David prayed, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. But the greatest man in the Bible was David. David had great talent in so many areas, in the area of leadership. Took that nation Israel to great heights. One of the most feared nations on the face of the earth was the nation Israel. He was great in government. Number two, he was a great musician. When Saul became depressed, he sent for David, who had come and played the harp. Apparently from the Bible, he may have led singing in the great congregation. Number three, David, of course, was a mighty warrior, teenage boy. He goes out and faces and kills the great giant Goliath. But here's the amazing thing. When David walked down the street, they didn't say, there goes the king. They didn't say, that's the guy that killed Goliath. David walked down the street. They said one thing. Hey, there goes a man after God's own heart. David's love for God overshadowed every other thing he'd accomplished. However, there came a time in David's life, David plunged into sin, deep sin, became guilty of murder, guilty of adultery, guilty of causing God's name to be blasphemed. Now, thank God, there's no period there. There's the rest of the story, how David got right with God. Now, hopefully, you and I will never plunge to the depths David fell into, but you and I get away from God, the results are the same in our life as they were in David's life. Number one, first of all, the realization of David's sin. Hey, wouldn't you think a great Christian like David, as soon as he sins, runs back to the palace, gets on his knees, and confesses that sin to God? Can I be honest? Every time I sin, here comes the devil. Devil tells me this. Hey, put off confessing your sin. Yeah. I use this term. The devil says, hey, wholesale your sin. Get a lot of sin, confess them all at once. Now, that's dangerous. Why? Your Bible talks about the motions of sin. Get it? When in your life there's unconfessed sin, it's not stagnant. It just doesn't sit there. It's on the move. It wants more of your mind, more of your body, more of your talent. My friend, sin unconfessed is like an animal on the move, wanting to devour more and more of your spiritual life. Years ago, one of my former friends called me up. It was Christmas Day. My pastor, former pastor, called me up. Said, preacher, got a problem. So my two boys got toboggan for Christmas. I'm not sure it's safe. We ought to check it out. Having great concern for his kids, I agreed to go with him. He drove way out in the country, found a hill, had an incline about like this. For the hill, there's a stream. Across the stream, a bridge about that wide. We get out there, take one look down the hill. Man, there were big oak trees all over the place. We got out there, and I said, I said, okay, preacher. I said, the assistant pastor was a brave guy. He said, Joe, you and your preacher go first. I said, thanks a lot, buddy. Now, we got on the toboggan. I got on the front. He got on the back. Wrapped his legs around us. Pastor gave us a shove. Somehow, by the grace of God, the mercy of God, down the hill, missed the trees, right across the bridge. Come back up. I said, okay, Jerry, you and the pastor go to my pastor. Was a big, tall guy. He on the back, Jerry on the front. Pastor wrapped his legs around Jerry. Notice, Jerry leaned over, wrapped his arms around the pastor's legs, and locked his hands. I said, ready? They said, ready. Friend, I'm back behind him. I'm pushing. I'm straining. I can't get it to move. But all of a sudden, with my keen mind, had an idea. A rope was tied on to the front of the toboggan. I walked around front, got a hold of the rope. I leaned down the hill and gave a jerk. It started to move. I jerked again. It came a third time. I jerked again. According to what was happening, I am running down the hill backward, being chased by a toboggan. Now, I panicked. I did. All of a sudden, I stepped to the right, shoved that thing off to the left. The pastor's hollering, get off, get off. But Jerry has his legs. He's hollering, hang on, hang on. They got halfway down the hill, just missed a huge tree. Now, for some reason, it was only one of the three of us saw any humor in that. But now, here's what I'm saying. Watch it. Once I got him going down the hill, I couldn't get him stopped. Watch it. I've been Christians. I'll go so far and see him, then I'll stop. I'll do this, but not go all the way. Then I'll stop. Friend, you cannot control sin. God does not tell you to control sin. God tells you to kill sin. Don't mess with it. Don't play with it. Get away from it. My friend, lives are ruined. But people think they can control sin. David could kill giants. David could be a mighty warrior. But David could not control sin. And neither can you. You avoid sin, kill sin, eliminate sin. Even Samson, kill 1,000 men, macho man, yet he could not control sin. Avoid sin. Joseph did the right thing. He fled from sin. And my friend, if you have to, you run away. But sin will destroy you and destroy your testimony and ruin your family as it did in the life of King David. Number one, now, every time I see him, here comes the devil. First of all, he says, uh-oh, bad news, sorry, Joe, bad news. God doesn't love you anymore. Look in your Bible at verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Understand that. My friend, when a Christian sins, God still loves that Christian. He hates her sin, but he loves the Christian. The prodigal son went in the far country. But when he had a hog home, he lived with the hogs, acted like a hog, smelled like a hog. When the father saw him, what did the father say? Woo! Son, there's a shower. No. He ran and met him and forgave him. Amen. What's your Bible say? Draw nigh to God. Not maybe, not might. He will draw nigh to you. Don't you dare believe the devil's lie. When you sin, God hates your sin, but God loves you, my friend. And that's one reason you should come back. Number two, when I see him, the devil says, secondly, he says, God is tired of forgiving that sin. He won't forgive it anymore. Now follow me here. Maybe in your life you're battling a habit. Sometimes you get victory, sometimes you get defeat. Say, Brother Mark, doesn't God get tired of forgiving my sin? Now hear me carefully here. If you're fighting it, battling it, he does not get tired of forgiving that sin. Let me explain why. Bible says, when you confess a sin, he does three things with it. Puts it behind his back, cast it in the sea, sin and iniquity, what I remember no more. What are you saying? I'm saying this. When you confess a sin, God forgives it. Wait, God forgets it. Therefore, there's no record of you ever having committed that sin. God doesn't say, boy, that must be the fifth time. No, it's the first time. Why? God doesn't dig up dead carcasses. God doesn't hold accountable when somebody confesses something. When you confess it, it's forgiven, it's forgotten. And my friend, don't believe that devil's lie. Don't let that keep you from coming back to God. You come on back tonight and say, God, confess it. Get right with God. Go out that door to live for Jesus Christ. Number one, the realization of David's sin. Number two, the results of David's sin. Now, sin has results. The wages of sin. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Here's David, King David. When David sinned, his life was affected. Number one, first of all, sin affected his soul. Look in your Bible at verse number three. I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. I want you to think a minute. If any Christian could be happy living in sin, it had to be David. Number one, he's the king, reached a political pinnacle. Number two, David is a multi-billionaire. When they built the temple, David gave, trying to remember, $127 million toward the building of that temple. David is the Bill Gates, the Warren Buffett, the Sheldon Shearer of Bible Times, okay? David is a multi-billionaire. Ready? Number three, David is extremely popular. How popular? David just walks down the street. All the women come out and sing songs to him. It's never happened to me. Never has. Never happened. Hey, David's popular, buddy. And number four, now watch it carefully. David is living in sin with Bathsheba. But your Bible says, physically, she was a beautiful woman. Understand that a minute, please. Everything the average unsaved guy thinks will make him happy, David had. Because David was a Christian, they couldn't satisfy. He's king, a billionaire, popular, living in sin. What did he say? My sin is ever before me. Sin affected David's soul. And my friend, if you can go out, live like hell, act like hell, sin like hell, doesn't bother you, you can laugh about it, joke about it, make fun of it, you're a child of hell. My Bible says, fools make a mark of sin. God help us, friend. Sin destroys. Sin damns. And God help you if you can't find something to laugh about. Any better than sin, there's something wrong in your spiritual life. There really is. Number one, sin affected David's soul. Number two, sin affected David's song. Look in your Bible. Verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Look at verse number 12. Restore unto me the joy, not the salvation, the joy of my salvation. Look in your Bible, verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. When I'm right with you, God, I'll sing. Verse number 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. When sin comes in a Christian's life, this song leaves the Christian's life. In the Bible, not one time. Do you ever find a happy backslider? For 25 years, a Christian named Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now wait, take the average unsaved guy, put him in Sodom and Gomorrah, he would think he was living in the suburbs of heaven. He would. Man, take the average unsaved guy in Sodom. Immorality, all kinds of perversion, pornography. For 25 years, Lot lived there. What's your Bible say? He vexed, tormented his righteous soul. He could not be happy living in sin. Romans chapter 7, Paul said, when I want to do good, I don't do it, but I don't want to sin. That's what I do. Yes, Paul was a Christian. What does Paul say next? Don't miss it. Paul cried out and said, wretched man that I am. Paul said, I'm not happy living in sin. I'm miserable. I'm wretched. My friend, I'll repeat myself. If you can go out and live in sin, it doesn't bother you. You have never, ever been saved because sin bothers a child of God. Amen. My wife and I were going to seminary in Chattanooga, Tennessee. One morning, my wife and I left the house. Excuse me. I left the house, staying in the front yard, waiting on my wife to leave the house. Say amen, gentlemen, if you got the courage, okay? So I'm in the front yard waiting on my wife. All of a sudden, a dog come up. It's got to be the ugliest dog I ever saw in my entire life. Hound dog, big floppy ears, walked right up to me, started licking my hand. I started petting the dog, and I realized this guy is skin and bones. As I petted him, my wife come out, and all of a sudden, the dog licks my hand. I'm petting him, talking to him. My wife come out and said, honey, I know you. Don't pet that dog. She said, and don't feed the dog. Okay. I took my wife to work. I went to school. As one guy said, I'm a real go-getter. I take my wife to work and I go get her. Anyway, I took my wife to work. I went to school. Got out of school about noon. I come home, sitting in the porch swing. Beautiful day, Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm trying to study. That dog crept up, jumps up in the swing right beside me. He sat down by me. I looked at him. He looked at me. I started petting him. I have no idea why. Out of the blue, I called the dog Sam. I talked to the dog. I realized this guy is skin and bones. While I'm petting him, I said, hey, Sam, buddy, hey, I bet you're hungry, aren't you? Now, don't tell me dogs don't understand. They do. As soon as I said that, old Sam gave me the slurpee on the cheek, okay? The big tongue on the cheek. The game's over. I went in the house, opened the refrigerator door. I got two hot dogs.
Oh, yeah.
That's appropriate for a dog, a hot dog. Amen. That's right. Martha Stewart, be proud of me. I got two hot dogs. One for Sam, one for me. I came out, sat down on the swing, had on a napkin, put the napkin down, bowed my head and returned thanks. Now hear me, buddy. Don't mess with me, okay? Don't mess with me. When I pray, things happen. When I finished praying, both those hot dogs had disappeared. Now, there's a number of things could have happened, okay? Number one, they could have been raptured, amen? That's a great Bible doctrine. The rapture of the hot dogs, okay? Except when I got through, somebody in that swing's looking in their shops, and it's not me, okay? That dog was just super lovable. 3 o'clock, I went to work. I got home at 10 o'clock that night. Read a while. My wife and I just got in bed. All of a sudden, on the front porch, I hear, ah! My wife said, all right, Mark. Not good, gentlemen, when your wife calls you by your last name. I'll tell you that right now. All right, Mark, did you feed that dog? Come on, get up. See, honey, you got to get rid of the dog. The neighbors will kill us, okay? I opened the front door, and there's Sam. I found a stick. I went about a block down the street in my pajamas, threw the stick as far as I could, turned around with my blazing speed. I come back to the house, right up on the porch. There's Sam waiting for me. Got that stick in his mouth. I said, Sam, buddy, you got to be quiet. There'll be a double homicide right here, okay? I walked in the house. My wife said, did you get rid of the dog? I said, you don't see it, do you? Huh? I got back in bed. I'm in bed about 10 seconds. My wife said, honey, hate to say this. You're going to have to feed the dog. I thought, what a shame. Now, this is Friday night, okay? Number one, we're in seminary. Number two, not much money. Number three, Saturday we go grocery shopping. I went in the kitchen, opened the refrigerator door. The refrigerator, there were three items. Ladies, you may want to take this one down, okay? You won't find this online, I'll tell you that right now. In the refrigerator, there was half a head of lettuce, open can of pork and beans, and some blue cheese dressing. Now, I got a metal pie plate. The bottom layer, ladies, is one layer of finely chopped lettuce, okay? Over that, you put a medium layer of pork and beans. Here's the key. Over the whole thing, you pour blue cheese dressing, and then you stir it up real good. That's the key. Something like that. You got to stir up good, buddy, okay? I got to stir it up. Open the door. There's Sam. Hey, Sam, buddy. There you go, pal. He just looked at it. I said, Sam, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I ought to pray. I said, we've already returned thanks for that 4 or 5 times. Go ahead and eat, okay? He just looked at us. Go on, yum, yum, good, eat, yum, yum, good. Sam leans down. He goes, and then he goes, ah! 3 o'clock in the morning, Sam's on the front door howling. Why? Don't miss it. After the good hot dogs, the beans, the lettuce, the blue cheese didn't satisfy.
Right.
You better hear me, friend. You walk with Jesus Christ. The joy of the Holy Ghost, the blessing of the holy life,
good.
The thrill of serving God. I'm going to tell you, the garbage and the filth this world tries to feed you will never satisfy your soul.
Right.
And society thought, boy, David's got it all. Yeah. David said, no, I've lost it all because I've let sin come in.
Right.
and I've gotten away from God. Sin affected David's soul, affected his song. Now we move to a Baptist doctrine. Sin affected David's sweetness. Look in your Bible. Look right there in the context for him. Look in your Bible, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now, here's what happens. A Christian gets away from God, he loses his joy. Yep. And a backslider is a selfish person. He wants his way. He doesn't care who it hurts. He doesn't care who it might damn. The Bible says this, the backslider in heart shall be filled, watch it, with his own ways. A backslider is a selfish individual. Here's what happens. Somebody backslides, they lose their joy, okay? And they say, man, I'm not happy. I don't want anybody else to be happy. They gripe, they bellyache, they complain, they criticize, they find fault. Why? Because they want everybody else to be just as wretched as they are. You say, Brother Mark, that's just a Baptist trait to gripe. That's a hell trait for a Christian to gripe and complain and criticize. Read your Bible. You read in your Bible what quenches the Holy Spirit. He doesn't mention the big sins, bank robbery. He didn't mention that stuff. What's he mention? Sins of attitude that quench and grieve the Spirit of God. Sins of attitude will make these aisles empty in this church. My friend, your attitude is so very, very, very important. But here it is. King David was called what? The sweet singer. Wait. He got a stinking, bitter spirit. Why? Because sin came in his life and he had too much pride to confess his sin. That's why in your house there's griping and bellyaching and fighting and mumbling. You know why? Because sin does that. Amen. Get rid of the stinking sin. Let God bring the joy back in your house, in your job. And live for Jesus Christ. Church I used to go to, there was a man, his name was Jack. Jack was the most negative guy I ever met in my entire life. This guy is my father-in-law, wonderful Christian. He used to say, when Jack gets to heaven, he'll gripe because his crown won't fit. But anyway, Jack was just a big griper, okay? And one Sunday, my pastor stood up to preach, and before he preached, he mentioned he wanted to see me at the close of the service. My wife and I sat in the front. That time my wife played the organ. The pastor preached, gave the invitation. Wow. Five or six folks got saved. The altar's full of Christians. Pastor finished the invitation, closed in prayer. On the front row, I got up to walk to the platform. Now Jack always sat in the back. Maybe it was a physical problem. I don't know. He came running down the aisle, ran by me, right on the platform. For the probably seven or eight people, verbally, he attacked the pastor. I mean, ripped him up one side down the other. He got through. Exit. Stage right. He's gone. What the pastor wanted was this. The next Sunday, he wanted me to preach. The next Sunday morning, I preached, gave the invitation. I don't have time to tell you everything that happened, but I'll tell you this. That Sunday morning, a man, his wife, and two teenage girls walked down the aisle to get saved. The man owned a big business. That man became a deacon in that church. His two daughters went to Bible college. One of them married a preacher. Number of Christians come. On top of that, there were two other men come to get saved. Just a great service. I closed the service in prayer. I said, amen. I looked up. While I was praying, Jack had crept on the platform. Man, he exploded. He just let it all go. When he got through, exit, stage right, he's gone. About 2 months go by. I'm ready to go play ball one night. The phone rang, I picked it up. Voice said, Joe. I said, yes, sir. He said, this is Jack. Hey, Jack, buddy. I said, what can I do for you? He said, preacher, my best friend come to see me. Just had a massive heart attack. They rushed him to the hospital. Will you go see him? I said, sure. What hospital? I said, where are you, Jack? He said, on the way to the hospital. I said, okay, I'll be in the parking lot in 10 minutes. I changed clothes, hopped in the car, rushed to the hospital. There's Jack pacing back and forth. I went up, we're going aboard the building. I said, now, Jack, this guy's a friend of yours? You said you missed it. This guy's the best friend I ever had. Said, preacher, in World War II, we're fighting the Germans in France. On one occasion, he said, literally, this man risked his life to save my life or I would have died. After the war, he said, he had a gas station in Chicago. I worked for him for 13 years. Said, since Sam, every year, he comes to my house for 2 weeks vacation. Said, preacher, this is the best friend I ever had in my entire life. I said, well, Jack, is your friend a Christian? I don't know. I never talked to him about that. That's why I called you. That's about as much like hell a Christian can get. Here's a man with gripe, bellyache, complain, criticize. Yet let his very best friend go to hell and make no effort to witness. My friend, hear me. Yep. You get a bitter spirit, you won't witness. You get a bitter spirit, you'll sit and stew and sour. What a shame. And nothing happens in church because the Spirit of God is quenched.
Right.
God help you, friend. God help you. That's a horrible thing when a Christian, all he does is gripe and bellyache. Good news, number three, the repentance of David from sin. How did David get right with God? Look at your Bible. Verse 1, my transgression. Verse 2, my iniquity, my sin. Verse 3, my transgression, my sin. Verse 4, have I sinned? Look down at verse number 9. Mine iniquity. How did David get right with God? He faced his sin. He confessed his sin. Hear it! He made no excuse for his sin. You want to come to God to get right with God and say, now God, what I did was wrong, but you know, it's my wife's fault. It's the boss's fault. It's Uncle Sam's fault. It's the preacher's fault. Just shut up! It's not rationalizing your sin that will get you right with God. It's facing that sin, confessing that sin. If we confess our sin, that's when the joy comes back, the blessing comes back, the thrill comes back, the excitement comes back, the burden for souls. It all comes back when we confess our sin.
Amen.
And my friend, tonight you can haul your sin and your stench and your filth out the door. Haul it home. Go home and be bitter and fight. You don't have to. Thank God you can confess your sin. And God can bring joy and happiness back in your life like you used to have. My wife and I used to have a cat. A few deep thinkers with trained theological minds, the cat's name was Puddles. Now when I'm home, normally I get up about 6:30. I let the cat in and go in my study. Every morning, Puddles walks in the study, sits down with a chair, trying to read my Bible. He goes, meow. I keep reading. He would go, meow, I keep reading. He would go, I get up. Now, if there's one thing I'm thankful for, the greatest invention in the history of mankind is not the wheel. It's not sliced bread. The greatest invention in the history of mankind is the electric can opener. Huh? Now, why? That way at 6:30 in the morning, with one hand you can hold your nose, one hand push a button, open a can of creamed kidneys, man. Huh? Luscious liver, goody giblets, okay? I'd feed the cat back in my study. Puddles would walk in my study, jump up on my legs, walk up my body, get under the Bible, wiggle around, twist and turn. He'd come up to me, look me right in the eye, man-to-man stuff. All of a sudden, he'd part his lips about that far. and take his teeth and rub them around my nose. Icky, I will tell you something. You get a big whiff of luscious liver at 6:30 in the morning, your whole day is down the tubes. Amen. Now, my first thought was this. What's this cat doing? I'm going to slap it. Silly, it dawned on me. The cat was trying to show affection. That'd be me. I start petting the cat. Cat laid down right there, goes to sleep, breathes on me. Have devotions like this every single morning. Huh? Preacher, what are you getting at? That's a picture of you and I. Yeah. We sin.
Oh boy.
Come to the presence of a holy God. Oh, the cherubim cry out and say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." We get on our knees and say the three hardest words anybody ever says. I have sinned. What happens? God in heaven reaches down and pats us on the head, takes away the guilt, the stench, the shame, brings back the joy and the blessing. When we confess our sin, watch it. David wrote something else. Psalm 23. Here's what he said. He restoreth my soul. He said, man, I got it back. When David, when you hit it, no. When I faced it and confessed it, I got it back. Tonight you can get it back, or you can turn your back. But don't go out like you came in. Let God have his way in your life tonight. Will you bow your head for prayer? Or hit